artery disease is the most common form of heart disease in the U.S.
When do you consider using a stent versus conservative care?
Brought to you by Integrated Rehabilitation Group, physical and hand therapy clinics throughout the Puget Sound area, where you receive excellent care with exceptional results. Now your hosts, Maury Eskenazi and Shannon O'Kelly.
All right, welcome to Health Matters. Maury Eskenazi, Shannon O'Kelly. We got a doctor hanging out with us.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. That's what we call Health Matters.
That's right. Dr. Karen Myron. Is it Myron or Mirren?
It is Myron.
Myron from Western Washington Medical Group, White Horse Family Medicine, joins us. We're going to talk about strep in a couple seconds. How's everything?
Things are going great. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, it was sunny and beautiful, and people were, I was out, you know, golfing and out and about, and then I decided to take 4 days off, or 2 days off, plus the weekend to watch basketball nonstop since last Thursday, and luckily it rained the whole time, so I didn't feel so bad.
That weather kind of fooled us a little bit.
Yeah,
and you know, we've talked about this in the past, Maury. I mean, we're seeing a lot of high school athletes coming in with those sprains and strains, those soft tissue injuries, that cold weather, not warming up, going out, track, baseball, quick start, stops. I mean, that's when you tear a muscle. And those early season soft tissue injuries, I mean, they might just be a little strain, but if you don't take care of them right away, they can linger throughout the season and make for kind of a miserable experience in athletics.
So I think warming up is
you got to get out there and run a lot, get that core temperature going, do a lot of stretching and flexibility. I mean, prevention is, what did your mom used to say? Prevention is, an ounce of prevention is worth what? I bet Tom Lafferty knows.
I wasn't paying attention.
Tom, can you help us out there?
Knows.
Of cure.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
I was too busy. My nose was against the wall most of the time.
Yeah, in that little circle?
Yeah,
that your teacher put up there?
Yeah, I couldn't leave.
Did you ever clap erasers after school?
I did everything.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah, I think you did. You know, one of my times, and we're going to get to the doctor in a second, but one of my punishments was I had to babysit one of my teacher's kids on a Friday.
Oh, that was a good move on your teacher's part.
Yeah, totally.
There's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, so that was
now you're in trouble, so I'm going to give you some responsibility to babysit my kid.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go,
It was horrible. Dr. Karen Myron joins us again, family medicine doctor from Western Washington Medical Group and the White Horse Family Medicine. We're going to talk about strep throat. What I always get to ask one stupid question. What is strep throat?
So strep throat is an infection of the throat with streptococcus pyogenes infections, a group A strep. So it's a type of bacteria.
So it's a bacteria infection. Mm-hmm. That's what's important to differentiate between, you know, when you have strep, you have bacteria colonizing on your throat or that soft tissue in the back of your mouth or your tonsils, I guess you call it.
Yep, that is correct.
And normally it starts off, you know, you talk to somebody, oh, yeah, I have a really bad cold, and then what's going on? Are you better? No, they could hardly talk. I have strep. So how does it all of a sudden turn into that?
So sometimes they can initially have strep alone and have some of the other, what's called coryza, or other symptoms that go along with strep. So body aches, fevers, chills, runny nose, that kind of thing. But sometimes their immune system is just down and they get exposed to strep and then obtain a strep infection.
So what you're saying is then theoretically there's this bacteria in the environment that we live in, and we kids go to school in, and kids touch, and you know, it's an environment where they're close together. So when your immune system gets a little bit depressed, mm-hmm. and you have some exposure, these kids can develop. Because it's more common in kids than adults, right?
It is. And that's partially because of the increased exposure. So, for example, you know, you have a child the age of 5 through 15. They're going to have a 15 to 30% risk of having strep throat during the winter months when they're complaining to you of a sore throat.
And so when should you kind of look for signs and symptoms, and what are the signs and symptoms versus just I've got a sore throat or itchy throat, cough, cold, sneezes? When is it strep?
So it's more likely to be strep when they have an abrupt onset of symptoms, when they're complaining to you, obviously, of a sore throat, but also with a fever, especially if that fever is greater than 101 degrees Fahrenheit or 38 degrees centigrade.
Who's taking temperatures in centigrade? I want to know that right now.
Yeah. We are in a northern state.
I know. If you can hear us in Canada right now, we're talking to you.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
And then sometimes they'll have some headaches, some body aches. Once in a while, you'll get nausea, vomiting, especially in younger children. And once in a while, you'll get a rash or swollen lymph nodes as well with the infection.
And a lot of times they really complain of like almost like they're trying to swallow glass. I've heard it described as the throat gets so sore that just swallowing and almost breathing is irritating.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hearing you say that, I'm
and we're all getting kind of a sore throat
right now. Yeah.
But I mean, can you get can you see the white kind of pustulas or the bacteria on the throat sometimes when you look back there?
Sometimes you can see the white pustules, and that would be an increased risk of needing to get them in to be seen by the physician. But you can also have strep without the white pustules as well. So if you see those white pustules in your child or yourself or a friend, get them into the doctor to get seen. And it doesn't mean for sure that they have strep throat, but they definitely should be checked.
Is it contagious?
It is very contagious, which is why.
Very. Did you hear what you said? Not just
that's
contagious.
Right. That's right.
It's very contagious.
Particularly for that group of 5 to 15-year-olds.
Right. So that
going
just
to
blows
school.
Out a whole classroom then, right?
Yep, exactly. Which is why it's, exactly. You have kids in a close environment that maybe aren't as cautious as they should be about washing their hands. They're incidentally sharing cups, and suddenly you have an outbreak of strep in the school system. But also even in a family who often will share glasses and things as well, you can have outbreaks in a family, which is more likely where we see it in the adult population if you have exposure to children that have it.
It blows me away because there's so much of that hand stuff, sanitizer going around.
We're much more aware of the hygiene, and we always talk about washing hands. But human beings being who we are, we're touching our nose and our mouth, frequently throughout the day, and that's why it's so important to wash your hands. So when you say, strep is out there and it's in our world and we live in it, but when the immune system gets depressed, are these kids, these 5 to 15-year-olds, are they not getting enough sleep? Do they have an initial cold, or it's just one of those things that happens?
So it can be either. You can just be exposed to strep, and it can be enough to overtake you. So you don't even need to have your immune system to be suppressed to get strep. But if you have immunosuppression or a suppressed immune system from the lack of sleep, from other things that might be going on in your life, then you're going to be more likely to get it and also to have a more severe case of it as well.
And when should, as a parent or a caregiver, when should you become concerned, and what are the complications if you don't take care of strep?
Well, sometimes it can be really difficult to know when to take your kid in and when it's just a sore throat and when to bring him in. With strep throat specifically, if they get seen and diagnosed and treated within 48 hours, it'll decrease the length of the disease as well as decrease the risk of passing it to someone else. Now, that being said, so I'm saying, if we were seeing every kid in the office that had a sore throat within 48 hours of having that sore throat, we'd be seeing a lot of kids with viral infections as well, which is the most common reason for a sore throat. So it is, as a parent, it can be difficult to know when to take your kid in.
Do the viral sore throats have the sudden onset and the fever then associated with them?
They can, but it'll be less pronounced and a lot more runny nose, nasal congestion, that kind of thing.
Got it.
Dr. Karen Myron from Western Washington Medical Group, White Horse Family Medicine, is with us. As far as the testing for strep throat, it always kills me. Is it still the swab in the very back of your throat?
It is. It is. As horrible as it is, that's as good as we can do for now.
It's, hey, can you open your mouth? And you go, yeah, what? And then you just start gagging
You have a really hyperactive gag reflex.
I do,
yes.
I'm gagging right now.
Yeah, you're just thinking about it. Yeah. So totally. They take a swab, and then do you culture that bacteria and test it?
So the gold standard or the best test that we can do is a culture, but unfortunately it takes 48 hours to get that result back, and obviously we're not going to wait for those results. And so we do what's called a rapid strep test. It's very specific in that if it's positive, you definitely almost always have strep, but you can have what's called a false negative result. So the rapid strep test can be negative and you can still have strep throat. So oftentimes in kids, when we do the rapid strep, we send them out for culture, which takes 2 days to come back to confirm that they do not have strep.
And this rapid test, you're doing that in your office?
We're doing that in the office.
And you're just taking that swab. Are you staining it to try to identify the bacteria?
It's a rapid antigen test.
Okay.
So you take the swab and you put it in this special reagent, and if there's antigens from strep present, it'll turn it a certain color.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Got it. So then once you identified that a patient has strep, what are your treatment options?
And so as far as treatment options, the best treatment option is still penicillin, amoxicillin, Augmentin. I'm sure you're familiar with some of those.
It's that pink, whatever that pink stuff is.
That's amoxicillin. I think that was amoxicillin.
Yeah. Exactly.
Bubblegum
right.
flavor, and it stains your carpet.
Yeah, totally.
And so that's the best antibiotic to use. But if you're allergic, like many of us are, to penicillin, then we're looking at cephalosporins, macrolides, and clindamycin. So there's plenty of other antibiotic options if you're allergic.
Is there ever a time where you're going to give an antibiotic and it's not going to be strong long enough and you're going to have, like, because usually they say, well, take this antibiotic within 24 hours, your symptoms should subside, you're going to feel great. There's sometimes where the antibiotic's just not the right one.
It is, especially if you use an inappropriate antibiotic. And so, you know, we'll sometimes see patients come in saying, well, I started the antibiotic that they had from, I don't know, their last urinary tract infection. Well, that's probably not the correct antibiotic, actually. So, you know, there are antibiotics that are not going to work for this. And so you should come in and get
veterinary antibiotics.
Seen.
Yeah, not good.
Can't use your dog's antibiotics for
it. Try it.
I tried it.
And so, and rarely we can get a failure on the correct antibiotics, but it usually does work. But sometimes it fails. And when it does, you know, if your symptoms improve and then return right away, you should be getting back in with your physician to start a stronger course of antibiotics.
Now strep is not just kids 5 to 15. I know, you know, adults get strep. Is it worse for adults than kids, or?
I don't know that it's worse. I mean, it certainly can be sometimes, but typically most adults have been exposed to it previously, which theoretically, if they created antibodies to it the first time they had it, it should be better or not as severe of a case, but it can be worse.
Mm. Yeah, and so if untreated, I mean, there's some complications that goes along with strep that you have to be concerned about. Talk about some complications.
And so strep can obviously cause, you know, especially in children, otitis media or ear infections as well, and sinusitis. But the more extreme complications for strep is a paratonsillar abscess, where they form an abscess or a skin infection in their tonsils in the back of the throat. And that can be not only very painful, but also very dangerous, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah, that abscess problem is that's hard to kind of, particularly back there, I'm sure it's very painful.
Mm-hmm.
And then is that, how do you treat that? Do you have to drain it? We have to drain it.
Ooh. So in the office, we numb it as best we can.
Yeah, right.
With a
swab.
Yeah, with a swab.
This is really, yeah.
But then we have to open it up and let it drain, which is obviously not a pleasant experience.
Nothing is ever good with the word abscess.
Not bad. No, abscess is not a good word, but you probably have to use, I mean, how do you identify that? Is that something you can visualize, or do you put a mirror back there, or you see it from?
The majority of the time, you can see that the tissue around the tonsils or the tissue in the back of the throat is so swollen that you can see that there's obviously an abscess back there. But sometimes we can't, and we have to do.
Do they not take tonsils out anymore? Because I remember I had my tonsils out when I was like
you just
in
want
first
popsicles.
Grade.
That's all you want. Have ice cream popsicles for like.
Tom,
a week.
Did you have?
No, I did not.
You didn't have your tonsils out?
Nope.
So do they not take them out anymore?
They do take them out, but they take them out a lot less frequently than what they previously did. And so the restrictions or the recommendations as far as taking tonsils out and removing toxins are actually really quite intense. For example, you want to have recurrent tonsillitis or recurrent strep tonsillitis for either longer than a three-month period in a single episode or more than three episodes yearly. In 3 years, five episodes yearly for over 2 years, or seven episodes in a single year.
Yeah, you know, isn't that funny? I mean, you're talking about that. I remember as a kid growing up, you always had one classmate, like particularly that third, fourth, and fifth grade years that had their tonsils out. And
yeah.
Kids are so silly. I mean, they were like, wow, you get to eat ice cream for a week.
Yeah,
and you
I know.
Like, envious. Envious.
And here you are. I remember going to the hospital. I remember ether. That's how they used to put us out, ether. That explains a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Basically.
There you go. And then also, so that abscess, it sounds pretty horrific, but I mean, there's also complications in the heart, too.
There is. And so you can get strep bacteremia, where the bacteria actually spread to the blood. You can also get acute rheumatoid fever, which is 2 to 3 weeks of the sore throat, muscle aches, carditis or inflammation of your heart.
Now, does that happen if you don't do anything about it?
It can, yes. It usually does, in fact. And sometimes you can get a late onset, so you can have the strep throat. Your symptoms can go away, but you can, because of the exposure, you can actually get the rheumatoid fever later on.
So what happens there? I mean, my understanding of that, the rheumatoid fever, that bacteria is in your bloodstream, and then it lands on one of these valves in your heart, just because that valve is just a good site for that bacteria to hang on to, huh?
Exactly, and it can actually cause pretty significant damage to the heart valves and long-term permanent damage, so that as an adult later on, it can obviously cause immediate problems, but you know, long-term permanent issues with your health for the rest of your life.
Is it something that if you get strep, chances are you're going to get it all the time?
No, I mean, as long as you get your strep treated appropriately, you shouldn't have a recurrence of strep, or you're not more likely to get it in the future. Now, if it progresses to acute rheumatoid fever where you have the heart symptoms that go along with that, then we do a much longer treatment than if you were to have strep in the future.
Yeah, and you mentioned early on in the segment this is very infectious and contagious. Mm-hmm. Is there a time period where if your child's sick, I mean, you shouldn't have them out in the public, or you send them to school, basically?
So, yeah. So once you get diagnosed with strep, you want them to be on antibiotics for at least 24 hours before you can send them back to school. But again, as I said earlier, if you are concerned that your child has strep, you really want to get them in with that in that first 48 hours. And you might be going in, getting a strep test, and being told that it's negative, but then at least you haven't hopefully exposed your entire family and the majority of the school system. So.
Right, right.
All right. We're out of time. Thanks for coming on, Dr. Karen Myron, Western Washington Medical Group. Where's White Horse Family Medicine at?
It is right in Arlington, right at a kitty corner from the hospital.
All right.
From Cascade Valley Hospital.
I know exactly where
that is. Do you have a website?
We do have a website, yep.
And you want to tell us what it is?
I don't know exactly what it is, but if you Google search WWMG White Horse Family Medicine, it'll come right up.
Right. Perfect.
Good stuff. Thanks for coming on.
Thank
We're
you.
Taking a break. Gout is next.
Gout.
Gout.
You're introducing someone.
Gout is next. Health Matters, brought to you by IRG Physical Hand Therapy. This is Fox Sports 1380.